Well, first of all, I'm just going to get the embarrassment part over, but I want to publicly, and I call it the bully pulpit because I'm here and I get to do it. I publicly want to thank my mother for being a great mother and everything that she did for me as I was growing up and still does for me now. And I also publicly want to thank my wife, who is a tremendous mother. She's not my mother, but tremendous mother, and I'm thankful for her and the godly influence that she has had on my children. I was just reading an article about that, and she was there both times when she got to lead my kids to the Lord. Doesn't get any better than that. Doesn't get any better. There, I was reading an article that's saying that mothers influence people more than anybody else, and especially during the formative years. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for their patience and their love and their kindness. And so I just wanted to publicly thank those two people in my life. And we'll go on from there. All right, I'm going to start you off with something right here. I want you, if you have a piece of paper, if you don't have a piece of paper, you don't have to, you know, find one or anything. And it's a simple thing, but I just want you to think about or write down five attributes of God. And you can't, it can't start with the letter O. Okay? It cannot start with the letter O, because that's our immediate response to what? Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, you know, on and on and on. No, you cannot use that. So I want you to just think about it right. And I may ask you what those are, but I want you to just take a second to think about that. Attributes of God. All right. Would anybody like to share any of those? Have you thought of one or two or... Yeah, Orest. There you go. Excellent. That's a good... Precious. What's that?
Love.
Alpha? Okay. Compassion. Excellent.
Faithful.
Unchanging. Merciful. Dolores. That's these are long suffering. That's my one of my favorites with me. Exactly.
Glorious.
Anybody else? Yeah, Ruth. Powerful. Kingship. Man, you guys are good. I like that. Yes.
Creator,
exactly. All right. Redeemer. I love it. You guys are rolling with this. Well, today, that's exactly what we're going to talk about, at who God is. It's entitled, Did You Forget? And I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to kind of cover the whole chapter, but I wanted us to read verses 21 through the end of the chapter, 31, 21 through 31. And you'll recognize, hopefully you'll recognize this passage of Scripture, especially the last couple, because we read this a lot at the beginning of our morning service. We read this a lot at the beginning of our morning service. But let's read together Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. As we think about God, and a lot of times I've said this before, is a lot of times when I go to pray, it's like, okay, God, I want this. And then I got to back myself up and say, okay, God, thank you. First of all, thank you for who you are. You are great and mighty and powerful and all of these things. And then proceed, because that's the way that I feel that we should approach God, is to come to him and give him the glory due him. But as we do these things, and we need to figure it out, our life gets intermingled with how we do things. We get busy. We do the. We get sidetracked. Sometimes I'm having a great relationship with the Lord, and sometimes we just forget. But here in this particular context, there were some problems going on with God's people. They were going through a very rough time. Approximately 200 years before this, the two kingdoms split. The great, you know, Matt's going through 1 Samuel, and we're talking about the king, Saul, and then I hate to ruin it, but David was the next king, if you didn't know that. So I didn't mean to ruin it and blow that whole thing. But Solomon became this great kingdom. They had all this wealth and power and respect, and then it started going downhill, and after that it split. And this was about 200 years ago. 10 tribes in the northern and 2 tribes in the southern. They were just making wrong decisions and being selfish and doing the things against the Lord. So they were not united as God's people at all. And it just continued to go down until finally the 10 northern tribes were taken over by Assyria. They were conquered in 722 BC. So now Judah is still the southern two tribes were still going on. There were some good kings during that time, but they were still struggling with things. And Isaiah came to tell them, to talk to them about some problems that God had with them. And that's where we're taking this snapshot. Judah was not yet conquered, but he came to tell them the not-so-good news. God told Isaiah to tell them, you're going to be conquered also. You're going to be taken away to captivity. But he also made some great, great prophecies also. Isaiah has 66 chapters in it, and it can be divided and often divided in 2 sections, chapters 1 through 39, and then chapters 40 through 66. And the first part is dealing with, this is going to be your chastisement. This is what's going to happen to you because you went away from me. But then the second book, also called the Book of Consolation, says, okay, and that's where chapter 40 starts. It says, but I will not forget about you. You are still my people. You're going to do this. You have to do this, but to learn, and I am going to be with you. And he begins to tell them what's going to happen in the immediate future, and then in the future, that some of the future that we have not been fulfilled yet. And so it's exciting to think about those things, and it's exciting to see how God works, and it's exciting to see back how some of these things were prophesied. Even in chapter 40, John the Baptist is prophesied, and that came to fruition. We know that that's true. They didn't know his name at the time, but we do now because we have the New Testament. I'm so thankful for that. But he was given these prophecies of a great Savior and a hope that was found only in God. Now, the problem is they were having a problem with idols. We don't have a society, we don't live in a society today that has necessarily idols. I don't have something carved in my backyard inlaid with gold and go out and, you know, I don't even know what you'd say to an idol. I don't know. Maybe hug a tree or something. I don't know. But we don't directly do that, but we do that. It's just not in that image. But at this point in time, they were having a mighty problem with idols. They were choosing the idols over God. And so God's saying, hey, you were doing this. That is forbidden. You're not to be doing it. You're going to suffer the chastisement of it, but I'm going to help you through it, and I'm going to be there for you. They were worshiping idols. God is telling them he is the one to be worshiped. They were not. He was the one that can do great things. He's going to tell them, he's going to tell them all the great things he can do. They were, the idols were, they were worshiping were made of hands of men and resources from the earth, the things that God created, and they were worshiping them. They forgot. They forgot. Now, it wasn't that they forgot completely about the God. I mean, they were very into their traditions. They were very into what they had come from, but they forgot about the God that gave it all to them. They got in this mode where they just were going about. They didn't not know. They just didn't remember who God was. Then when we... God needed a reminder to give them a reminder. When we're getting right down to it, we all have faith in something. I've always said this. But what do we trust? When we are living our everyday life and the things that are trusting in comes out in our actions. And we can see that all in our lives. There's high points and low points. We can see that over and over again that happens. God is giving them a reminder and us a reminder because these things were written for us to remember. So some of the things that God wanted them to remember. The first thing is God is powerful and we are not. And this is very simple stuff, but I think we always need a reminder. God is powerful and we are not. We read verses 21 on through 31, but I'm going to cover the whole chapter and I'm not going to read all of the verses, but I want you to, he is bigger than the universe. Verses 12 through 14, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord or been his counselor? Who hath taught him? He is bigger than then in verses 21 and 22, which we read. He sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the heavens thereof as grasshoppers. Stretches out his heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Wow! So God is not, and you know, there's certain things that's hard for us to comprehend, but God is not bound by natural or physical laws, and we always tend to think in those areas. Because that's the area that we live in and how we deal with things. God is not limited like idols that are made up the images of man. We come up with what God's like and then make something to do with and then worship it. Now, again, I think people do that naturally because I believe that all people have a knowledge inside of a creator. They may suppress it, deny it, not care, on and on, but I really believe that. He is not limited by natural or physical laws. I was going to give this as an example. Sometimes we can think all we want and do, and you know, our whole life we're said, you can do anything. Well, I hate to break your bubble, but we can't do everything. Sometimes younger children, especially boys, think they can do special things that others cannot. Sometimes we are so convinced by these thoughts, bad things happen. Now, I've had many dumb things that I've done in my life that as a reminder of it, but my favorite one is from a cousin. This cousin, he lived in Montana, and this cousin was given, his name was Bobby, and he was given a Superman cape. And when he received that, he thought he could fly. In fact, he thought this so much that he was so convinced on it that he put it on, they had a two-story house, went out on the back deck on the second story, and just jumped. Now, fortunately, he only broke his arm, and we tease him about it still today. But that was wrong thinking. He thought he could do anything. And he cannot. We are bound by nature's physical laws, by sin, all of these things. But God is not. He can do what he wants to do. And I want us to think about that. This is a good analogy for our spiritual and mental processes. We think we can see or predict the future or how to deal with difficult decisions or circumstances. and we try to work them out that way. Because God is so powerful, a reminder that God is so powerful, we are not, is he is more powerful than the nations. Verses 13 through 17 and 22 through 24, 24, they shall not be planted. Well, that bringeth the princes to nothing and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. And then behold the nations, in verse 15, behold the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. You can see, especially in the last year, how political power really manifests itself. Everybody is putting all their hopes and dreams in a man or not a man or somebody else. Now again, what we do and how we act is very important on this earth, and God has ordained government. But sometimes we become so focused in either who's in the office or who is not in the office that we forget about God. We begin to place our hope. You get all excited if your candidate wins and all depressed if it doesn't. And again, I talked about this several months ago about government and how we are. We're not here to shape the future. We are here to be guided by God into the future because he is in control. We need to remember that he is powerful. He controls the nations. Now, does that mean that we don't do anything? No. We need to vote right. We need to talk right. We need to do those things and shine as lights that the Lord would have us to do. It's a hard thing to find a balance between the physical world we live in and the faith as a believer. But we need to rely upon the Lord through all these things. We get so wrapped up in trying to make things happen. And I'm one of those people. I'm a doer. I like to make things happen. I like to force my way to make sure I can get this or get that. And that's not the way the Lord intended it to be. Now, we need to do our part. The things that God has told us to do, we need to do. And we need to do them by faith. But we need to remember, we need to not forget that God is in control. He brings about what he wills. We do our part and then trust God for the rest. The other thing that makes God powerful and that we are not is he is everlasting. In verse 28, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, everlasting God, he always has been and always will be. He has seen everything, he is seeing everything, and will see everything. He is everlasting. This is a great comfort to me. Because I am a doer, I try to figure out or guess what's going to happen in the future and then deal with it from there. But he knows everything. And I try to figure out in my own mindset, but he knows everything from everybody's mindset. And he is so powerful that he can make his will for Orest and my will and Shalon's will and Jeff's will all mesh together for his glory. He is good like that. I can't even hardly control my own life, let alone somebody else's. And I'm so thankful that he is everlasting. He's always there. What we think can be influenced by popular trends or leaders around us, there's nothing that can surprise God. Nothing he doesn't know or see. He is stable and steady. And one of my favorite verses is Hebrews. And in fact, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And we've been going through, Pastor Gary has been going through Hebrews, but chapter 13, verse 8, and a lot of you have this verse memorized, says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, I want you to think about that. And I quote this verse a lot because I love that. He is stable, he is steady. But when you look in the context, it's talking about serving him to please God. And it talks about dealing with people, marriage, covetousness, jobs, spiritual things. And then he puts Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is to apply to our daily lives. It's not just thinking about just an attribute of God, but when we think about these attributes, I want to think about why is this important? Why, when we say all these things, how is it important to you personally? How do you deal with this? God will not change his mind. He will not take away from his promises. He will not get in a bad mood and take away what he promised us. He will not get flustered and punish us out of selfishness. He will be consistent with what he says and how he deals with us. We have a saying in our household. I forgot it now. Say what you mean what you say, and don't assume anything. And there's some truth to that in everyday application. We get so worked up with what somebody's going to think or do or say that we try to manipulate those things. We get emotional in our decisions. God does not. He is everlasting. He's going to be consistently the same. He is, in verse 28, creator. He is powerful enough to speak the world into existence. God does not fret about what rulers are doing and how we control them, and if he's lost control. He can do as he pleases. He can do as he pleases. Romans 1:25, who changes the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. During this time, they were worshiping the created, not the creator. They were making idols. And that's one of those things. I have many problems. I have a hard time grasping, like I just said earlier. I can't imagine cutting a tree down, carving something into it, and then acting like it can do something for me. But again, we do things in different ways. He is the creator. He doesn't get tired or weary. I had a week that it's just been fantastic. Got my sister and above all Addie visiting. My sister's okay, but I had to take that because I couldn't get Addie here any other way. But I was exhausted. I'd just been exhausted. It's like I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm not waking up in the middle of the night. I'm doing all these different things. And I just was exhausted. And when you get exhausted, you can't focus on what you need to be doing. You cannot focus on it. And we have a hard time with that. But God doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. It completely changes how we think and solve problems. We can become overwhelmed and make bad decisions. We become weak and not want to carry on what God wants us to do. Our thinking becomes clouded. Our moods change. Our frustration levels elevate. We lose our patience. But God is always there and consistent. Now, how does that practically apply to us? What does that mean to us? Like I said, everything that you're going through your life, God knows. And we're to learn from it, whether it's what we like or what we don't like. And that's important that we don't do it, because we begin to get down about things. And we need to, no matter what's going on, be self-examining, look to God's word. Am I following God's word? If yes, then just go with it. I was talking to Matt and Gary about this the other day. You know, during this time and this punishment when they went into captivity, you know there had to be several people that loved the Lord and were by faith following it. But they didn't necessarily deserve the punishment. Right? They didn't deserve the captivity. They were doing the right thing. So why did they? Because God is using them. And sometimes you need to get out of your own mindset and saying, well, why is this happening to me, to God, instead of how can God use me in this situation? If I'm doing what's right, then how can I influence someone else and have the right attitude to get through these things? See, God is always the same. We need to try to do that. Not ourselves. He understands everything and he knows everything. Psalm 147:5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Infinite. I love that. Gentlemen, some of us think we know everything. Women do know everything. No, I'm kidding. I'm going the sexist challenge right now, aren't I? We'll always lose, so. But no, we sometimes think we know everything and we don't. God does. We need to keep that in mind. We need to make some assumptions on every decision as humans. But God doesn't need to make assumptions. He knows everything. He knows it all. He makes the right decision every time. In the end of chapter 39, and we're going to go into it a little deeper in Isaiah, but in the end of chapter 39, Hezekiah was the king. And he was a pretty good king. And we're going to talk about some problems he had, but he was a good king. And he had to make some decisions. Because of the idolatry of all of the people, Hezekiah came in. He was trying to do the right thing. He wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted the people to serve the Lord. But then because of what was already going on, these problems were coming along with the Lord. Now again, even when all of Israel was serving the Lord, there were still problems coming along. They just felt more confident in who God was and dealt with it accordingly. It wasn't like everything was yippee-skippy all the time. So he knows everything, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but Hezekiah had to make daily decisions on what direction to go, and he did go seek God most of the time. And we'll talk about the time he didn't, of course. We've got to point out the negative, not the positive, right? So God is powerful, and we are not. The second thing is we need to do is to look around. Look around. And what I mean by that, go to verse 26 of Isaiah chapter 40. Lift your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who he is, we need to look to him. We need to look to him. Again, back in Hebrews chapter 2, I want to just read it so I don't quote it wrong. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We need to look to him. We need to look to him. Because he is our creator, we need to realize that he is sovereign in all things. If he can create the heavens and earth, he can handle all things that pertain to us. In chapter 12, it's talking about chastisement. In Hebrews chapter 12, it's talking about chastisement. And again, this is the same reminder, and it's a pattern. Just as it is in Isaiah chapter 40, and he's talking about God's love and care, they've been talking about the chastisement. Now it's coming to fruition, and you see, that's what people do. Now, it doesn't mean, okay, that's what people do. You know, like a kid, he's in a stage, so we don't need to punish him, just let him work it out. No. We need to be corrected. We need to let those things mull in our minds. We should not be bogged down with the things around us. We need to look to God. The looking means to go to God, to understand his presence, to trust in him in his presence. He wants, when you think about the characteristics of God and all of these things, everything was a wonderful God, a great God. And we need to remember those things when we do have these problems, when we're going through times of problems. The other side of this is when we are going through a tough time, just like I was saying earlier, we need to self-examine to make sure that it's not us. And I get very, you know, like Job's friends, I get very upset when people just say, well, as soon as you're having a problem, well, it's God hates you. You're not doing something right. No, that's not how it works. He may be chastising you, not punishing you. He may be chastising you, but it's for your good and his glory. We need to always think in those terms because it's hard to think in those terms. God's going to do something good in what you're going through, and we need to fully grasp that. We need to we should not rely on our own strengths. We should rely on God. Look to him first. No matter what the problem, go to God. I am one of those people, I personally struggle with this a lot. It takes me a good day or two or nine or a hit from my wife to remember to do that. I get so frazzled and try to fix the problem before going to God. It frustrates me. And as I get older, I'm getting a little better at it, but I think that's God's keeping me around because I need to learn these lessons. But we need to be careful of how we do that. And then let's turn over to verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that your warfare is, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Like I said, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah talks about this is what's going to happen because of your idolatry, because you're turning away from me. But now he needs to tell them, I love you. I'm going to take care of it. I'm in control. And all of these things are going to be okay. Maybe not in your lifetime, but it's going to be okay. So the third point I wanted to bring out is find comfort in God. Find comfort in him. This is why he's doing these things to him. So that they'll... Some of you may even have a dog like this. I have two dogs. And one of them, his name is Roxy. She's a long-haired dachshund mix. And she loves to go for walks. All dogs love to go for walks, pretty much. But when I take her for a walk, I put the leash on her, and she's one of those dogs that just takes off, and the leash is just, you know, if she was weighed more, she'd be dragging me around. And then I have to say, Roxy, and then she'll come back and walk next to me. And then literally within 10 seconds, she's up again. Roxy. Then she comes back. And about the fifth time when I'm getting around the block, I get mad and push her with my foot. And she goes sideways. And then she turns and looks at me. And every time she looks back, okay, I'm good. I'm going to walk. And then all of a sudden, a smell or something comes up, and she takes off again. Well, by the time, and apparently I don't walk her enough, I'm please, I don't need any dog advice. I don't walk her enough. But after a while, sometimes I just stop her and hold her down upside down because she hates it. Hey, I'm in control. You're my dog. You're not going to pull. You need to sit next to me. And then that lasts for a good 4 or 5 minutes. And I was just thinking, this is an analogy sometimes of what God has to do with us.
David.
Yeah, okay, everything's good. And then, you know, somebody says something to me at work. And I'm just David. And it just goes on until he's got to take me down and throw me on my back. And I don't like this, you know what I mean? And say, okay, Lord, I'm getting it. I'm understanding this. Find comfort in him. Wait upon the Lord. I sometimes focus on the here and right now, the here and now, and I need to, but I always need to look to God's word for the things in life first. Every decision we made should be made based upon God's word. Patient is a virtue, what they always say. I don't know if that's true, but it's a hard thing to do. We need to trust God. We need to trust him. We need to have confidence in God. We just spoke about how great God is and the need to find comfort in that. Do we have a secure trust in God and who he is? Do we go about our daily lives with confidence that we are God's people and he is smart? And we're going to trust him no matter what happens, trusting fully in him as we make decisions? Is that how we go about things? Or do we hold back the confidence? Trust God in his plan. He has a plan. We don't know what it is. You know what I mean? We do know part of it. It's right here. But we don't know every part of it, and that's where the faith comes in. He says, trust me. Okay. He doesn't say trust in what? Trust me. That means everything. We need to trust him, have confidence in him, know that he has a plan. It's hard to do these things, and that's why we talk about the attributes of God. Is this, and I, If you have, let's just say $100,000, you're rich, like, you know, Caleb here, and you have $100,000 and you want to invest it, are you going to go to a guy that's living in a tent out in a field can't manage his own money? Are you going to say, hey, here's $100,000. Will you invest this for me? Yeah, sure, you know. No, that's not how it works. You're going to trust somebody. You're going to research them. You're going to, and you're going to find somebody that you feel confident in. And that's what we need to do with our everyday life, is find confidence in God. That's why we talk about his attributes. He is powerful. He is everlasting. He is merciful. He is loving. He is the creator. He is this. Is there anybody better that you can think of in your life now that's better to trust than God? I mean, I think Oris is a great guy, and I think he's a great example, but I, you know, I'm not going to trust him for the eternal well-being of my soul or my life. I'm not going to do it. I love you, but sorry. When we think about the attributes of God, it gives us that trust and confidence and the faith that we need to have as we go about our daily lives. That's what we need to focus on. That's why we need to focus on who he is first. When we know that, and I know that God can take my bad and make it to his good and to my good and his glory, then getting through my stupidity helps. God, I'm sorry. And then whoever I offended, I'm sorry. That will not happen again. There's some things in my life I wish I hadn't done in my earlier part of my life. But you know what? I did it. I was wrong. And move on. Let the Lord. I'm learning. As I'm learning. And this is a great thing. Excuse me. Allergy season. Go back to Isaiah chapter 39. Excuse me. Verses 7 and 8. Isaiah is dealing with Hezekiah. Let's start in verse 5. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, thy days come, that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid upon the store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And the sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the kings of king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, there shall be peace and truth in my days. Now, as reading this, what happened just in the preceding verses is that somebody from Assyria came in and he showed him everything. Hey, look what we got. All the riches, all this great stuff. God's blessed us mightily. And I thought, please forgive my language. But when I read that apart, I just thought, what a jerk. Why would you do that? But see, this is 2 Chronicles. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Chapter 32, starting in verse 26. Hezekiah gets sick, and he's recovering from it. And in verse 26, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king, and he tried his best. He made some mistakes. In fact, one time he tried to bribe the Assyrians not to conquer them instead of trusting God. And he went to God several times. I believe he was a good king. He went to God several times, but he made a mistake. But see, when God deals with him, he got sick. These things, the pressure on a king when some foreign country is going to come to invade you is pretty strong. That would keep you up at night. He humbled himself. See, God's work had already been working in Hezekiah's life. He learned already. See, at the end of chapter 39, he was thankful that it was, he wasn't thankful that God's not going to punish me. No, he was thankful and said, God, thank you for your mercy. We're always learning. We always need to learn. And it's funny how even as we get older, sorry, we struggle with that in our lives and what we need to do and to go to God first. But hopefully this snapshot in Isaiah 40 gives us a better understanding of who God is. I love how all of those things from verse 21, well, from 12, starts with questions. It's almost like a little sarcastic. It probably isn't, but I kind of read it that way. And again, and the way he's asking the questions is this, he's saying, did you forget? Did you forget? Don't forget. I'm here, and I'm a great God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we are so grateful for this time, and I'm so thankful for Grace Bible Church, your church, Lord, and I'm so thankful for these dear fellow believers that we might grow together, we might learn together, that we might glorify you together. I'm so thankful that we can worship you openly and that we have the freedom to honor you and glorify you in any way that we please, Lord, and I just pray that we would have the confidence in who you are, that we would trust you, because we know that you are a great God. We have your word, and I'm thankful for that, Lord, that we might know who you are, that as we go through our daily lives, that we might try to honor and glorify you, and that it would be pleasing to you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.